Blog Talk Radio.
This program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Basically, the 1% of the motorcycle community who operates outside the law.
Their total focus is on hatred for the enemy. They have a policy of shoot or kill on sight if they can.
It's bullshit. Law enforcement just tries to paint this picture to the media and just cover up their bullshit, cover up their lies, and I just like to say fuck them. That's straight from Mike P. Jump on your bike.
Let me play one out. Let me play one of Mike's one of his tracks. Stand by. Hold on. This is called Spice. I mean, not very radio friendly by terrestrial standards. It's called Give a Fuck. It's called Big Mike P, ladies and gentlemen. The 818. It's called Give a Fuck. Well, it's not really rap. It's kind of like Southern rock slash rap. I like it. It's like,
but this doesn't kick in. It hasn't kicked in yet. When it kicks in,
like
he
it.
Gets after it.
But I like it. I mean, it's got kind of a, you know.
Hey, homie. Hey, speed this motherfucker up so I can spit some crazy rap shit to this shit.
I don't give a fuck. Fresh out of jail. Jump on the chopper with my tracks like fish tails. Rolling in the wind, I be blowing. Bitches on my socks, on my dick is what they holding. Big ballin', money stay growing. Hitting hard as fuck for the title that I'm holding. Fuck with me, and you know you're getting faded. Baby mama trip because my pad just got raided. Oh well, I still don't give a fuck. I'm a squirrel in the world trying to bust a nut. So fuck yeah, motherfucker, keep on bailing. Gangsta gangsters, what the fuck they yelling? My lady think I'm crazy, but hey, that's cool. I've been fucking her friend for like a year or two. Mike,
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper, jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag like this tail. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper, jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag like this tail. Back up. Give me 50 feet before I have to knock your ass out in the street. My colors, my colors, my colors, my all. With the colors upon me, one soldier's hands tall. Tell me, what have you left me? What have I got? Last night my big homie got shot. Motherfucker, get back. It's time for some action. No fist fight. Strictly rap packing. Taking up on any motherfucker who's asking. I got the blunder so you know I'm straight blasting. Trouble, chaos, no pity. I grew up in the ghetto so my attitude is shitty. Some motherfucker don't say I didn't warn ya. Crazy motherfucker coming straight out of a coima. Goddamn, that's just how it is. A bad motherfucker known to handle my biz like
I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper. Jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag like this tail. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper. Jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag like this tail.
High bars, low rider cars. Neighborhood star at the neighborhood bar. Some say I'm crazy, but hey, that don't faze me. Maybe that's a reason 5 bitches want my baby. Mike P. Living straight raw, bad to the bone, I'm a rebel with a cause. Summertime, motherfuckers get the bleeding. Hotter than a motherfucker, good enough reason. Eyes wide open for the punk ass cops. Especially the ones with no lights on the top. Hit the throttle, let the clutch straight pop. Do a little willy when I burn out the spot. They yell at danger, beware if you enter. Just another day with this crazy 1% of my
team. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck. Jump on my chopper. Jump, jump on my chopper. Jump on my chopper with the drag like this tail. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. I don't give a fuck. Fuck, 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 fuck.
It's that Harley boy, Mike P.
represent freedom.
Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. Jump on your bike and let's roll. Fuck the 5-0, we out of control. I ain't a biker, homie. I'm a gangster on a bike. Yeah. And the cops don't like me because I do what I like. It's the American dream for us to live free. But when the feds think of me, they think of penitentiary. Don't blame me, pig. You made me this way. I'm a pit in a cage built up with rage. Take off that badge or kick your ass all day. Man, fuck you and the fucking DA. 99% of these bikers are good. I guess I represent them all, except for nothing but hood. So if you see that one with the diamond crown, you better make room. I'll lay you down. I'm on the freeway, flying with my middle finger up like fuck the world. I don't give a fuck.
You know, I'm going to tell you something right now. You're lucky that I care for you from the heart, because I don't miss Patriot games for no one. No one. They're 10-0 right now. They are ahead.
Good.
Yeah, they're playing the Jets. That's like, you know, as bad as the Bills. It's major rivalry. But it's all good. I can catch it on the on-demand later.
Yeah. Nah, I wasn't. Anyway, too good today.
You what?
I said I wasn't going to stay. I wasn't going to stay on. Still good today.
Okay.
Yeah. So, let me see where that thing is. Let me get it right here. Yeah, I got a bunch of Santa Monica police. They're all going to conduct motorcycle safety enforcement from now until the end of the month.
Got the end of the. Do you guys have an official end of the riding season out there?
No.
Yeah, because it's wrapping up, like, on this end. A lot of the events and stuff, different things are coming to a wind. And I know through chatter amongst people that they've been, you know, kind of beefing up security around different places, so.
But that's the ones that don't ride during the winter, because it might be a little chilly. It might be a little chilly.
Oh, my God. If I lived out there, I'd be, like, kissing the pavement, man. I'd be like, thank God. You can ride all year. Oh, my God.
Yeah. If it's cold, I put on a hoodie.
Let me tell you something. I got a couple of friends over here that ride until the snow drops. I mean, they've got chaps on, leathers on, wool sweatshirts, face masks. I mean, you name it. They are out there. It doesn't matter if it's 30 degrees. They're on the bike. If the snow hasn't hit the ground, they ride until it does.
Yeah. That's what I used to do when I lived back there.
Yeah. And if the only problem that I have with, like, motorcyclists riding during the winter months, you know, if we predominantly have snow that comes and then leaves and we get a nice day, there's a lot of sand. Because when the plows come out, they drop that salt and sand by the ton loads, and they don't pick it up till the springtime. So, you know, you got to use a lot of caution, because when you least expect there to be a shitload of sand, it's there.
Yep. Yeah, I hear the most we have is somebody dropping antifreeze or oil.
Yeah, no. Not out here. And then you got to watch that salt. That salt, you know, we battle two elements over here. The salt they put on the ground for the winter months, and then being on the ocean front, we battle the salt there. So it's very easily, which my mother has done to two cars, I've done to two cars, my father did to one truck, you rot out the vehicle before the engine even is kaput.
Yeah.
How long do cars last out your way because of the heat and stuff?
I just rebuild them. But I usually get about, like right now, on my Firebird, it's 276,000 miles on it.
Nice.
Third motor in training.
Nice.
Yeah. My El Camino, just rolled 100,000 with that one. And then the Chevelle, it's got 74,000 on it.
Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Do you ever drive them?
Yeah.
Oh,
when it rains. Only when it rains.
When it rains. When it rains, you take out the antique stock.
Go. Hey, if it's raining, I take the El Camino. If I'm getting a hit, I want to be in a tank. No, it has almost 5 1/4 horse.
Nice.
Gets on a freeway, it gets 12 miles to the gallon. On the street, stop and go, about 7 or 8.
I was going to say, what, about 2?
Yeah.
My buddy rebuilt an old Chevelle, and it ate through gas like nobody's business.
I got an article here. It's called "It's Time to Accept That America is a Police State." This was posted by... Huh?
It said, ain't that the truth?
Yeah. This was posted by, or sent to me by Andrea. And it was originally published in the stateweekly.com. So I think the article speaks for itself. These days, it doesn't seem to take too long to find yet another example of the rising police state in America. However, that assertion is often met with resistance, and it claims that calling the U.S. the police state is just fear-mongering, and after all, we are still the freest nation in the world. But are we? Is calling the United States police state just anti-government rhetoric used to incite fear amongst the government? Or are there legitimate signs and warning signs that the police state is here and it's only going to get worse? It's been here, it's only going to get worse.
Absolutely.
So there's no, that there's no confusion in looking at signs and is on the same page. Definitions that will shed some. Hold on a sec. Hold on 1 second. 870.
I'm here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
You can't hear me? This is Amy White.
How are you?
Hi, how you doing? Are y'all having a big time?
No, we're just, I recognized the number, and I know where you went, and I was just talking about it's time to accept that America is a police state.
Yeah.
But this boring story, or you, I figured we'll take you.
Well, I got something to tell you about that kind of fits in with that, I guess. I want to tell you Washington Rock, man. There was so many bystander stuff, and I got a lot of that I'll tell you if you want. But while I was over this police state stuff, when I was on my way to D.C. the other day, and y'all know I'd just been, you know, tailing over tea kettle trying to get to Washington, get everything done. My sister calls me, and my little niece, yes, sir. My niece calls, I've come home crying because her school in Sheridan, Arkansas, the social studies teacher told them they were going to have a Muslim speaker on 9/11. And Becca knew where I was, you know, she's 13. And her teacher told her, you're not allowed to mention God, you're not allowed to argue with this guy, and if you even roll your eyes, you're going to have to write a 6-page essay on the peacefulness of Islam. I wrote a big thing on Facebook and throwed a fit. A whole bunch of my biker buddies called the superintendent and principal all night long. So they canceled the speaker.
Yeah.
Now they've come back out and said that they're going to reschedule this speaker. And I ain't happy about it.
Should be the parents' right to choose because, you know, normally when people come to schools or the kids go to an event, the parents usually sign some type of permission if they want their child to attend, ask the school to draw up some permission slips and let the parents speak on behalf of their children.
Right. You see, the way they got through that was, this is a social studies class that's doing it, and so he's coming in to speak on and during social studies to just classes and not a whole school-wide event. And, you know, my niece is 13. She don't remember what we remember. And I don't like that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know exactly what you're saying. My son turned 6 months old on 9/11, and the other day when it came and gone, he asked me about a bunch of different questions that he had learned in school, but to remember the actual event, that's impossible. He was 6 months old, you know. So
right.
I know
how
that goes.
Well, I heard the other day one of my girlfriends said that she had heard at school that a man had a heart attack and accidentally hit the tower with a plane. Well, they brainwashing our kids, y'all.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. That's happening. I don't know if you had, I had read an article a couple of days ago, you know, about computers and society and how we're raising a computer-animated society pretty much, and it's actually making us stupid, you know?
Oh, man, yeah. I got an 18-year-old son, and that boy, he's as worthless as tits on a bull hog, you know, with the magic cards and playing the video games and all that stuff. He don't want to get a job. He wants to be lazy. He don't want to go to school. It's sad what's going on. And, you know, I know he was raised in a good Christian foundation in a home with, you know, my husband was a soldier for 20-something years. He had a good foundation, and he's still turning that way. And it's what they're learning at school, I think, after finding this out. You know, what do we do about these things like this going on?
Well, you know, that's why a lot of people are turning to homeschooling.
Yes. You have to. I guess you're going to have to. But, you know, the reason I brought that up, we're not getting the media coverage we should get because we shut down Washington, D.C. yesterday.
Yeah, it didn't even make the local news. You know what I'm saying? It's like, why wasn't it put out there? It's like, you know, they didn't want the country to know that people actually took a stand and did what they did, you know? And I think that's so sad.
Well, this is where all that's going there. Let them not put it on TV that we were all in Washington, D.C. Because think about all this story I just told you. We are on national TV because that Sheridan, Arkansas school thing, y'all have probably seen it on the national news. And it's all over Arkansas news. It's all over everywhere. Sheridan schools did this. That was caused by one biker and then probably 3 million people that went into Washington. Now, if all 3 million of us does one thing like that, they got me on the news right now, and they don't even know they got me on the news. You see what I'm saying?
Uh-huh.
We're making a difference. And this wasn't a one-day thing. This wasn't an ending when I left Washington, D.C. today. This was a beginning. I hope.
Yeah, it's like I talked about this the other day. The Homeland Security sent a letter to the American Legion and the VFWs. They want a list of all their veterans. They
Why?
Want all the names, addresses, and everything in the vets. Why?
Why?
Why do they need that?
Why do I have to run my ID through a scanner at Walmart to buy cigarettes now when I'm 40 years old?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That bothers me. I mean, whose business is it? I have lupus. You know, my face don't look like no teenager by any means. I got a kid old enough to buy cigarettes. So who's getting my information when they run it through the scanner?
Well, when you start seeing a lot of junk mail, you know what happened.
Yeah. I'm worried about our country. We're going to have to fight. It's all, you know, we're in the trenches.
Yeah. The bad part is not everybody's going to do the same. You know, the other day I had a guy, I went to Bill's shop, and I was standing there, and the guy walked in, and he bought one of them half dome with the fucking inch thick rubber in it helmets. And he just called me on how to fight the helmet ticket, so I sent him all the stuff, how to do it and everything. And he just became one of the 9 out of 10 that just bent over.
And thank you, yes. Well, I posted on my website that I owned it, that I started the fight at that school. I told him, I said, I started this, and I'm going to keep it up. And y'all would not believe the people that come in bashing me, going, oh, they're all the same. All religions are the same. No, they ain't.
No.
These Muslims are got a lot more in common with Westboro than they do anybody else. And even Westboro ain't going around chopping folks' head off and raping little girls. You know, are they going to tell my niece when that man comes in to tell her how peaceful Islam is? Is he planning on telling her that if she was a Muslim, by now she would be married to a 50-year-old man and raped and probably pregnant?
Wow.
And wearing a towel around her head, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's ridiculous. It pisses me off. I want to go get somebody by the throat. I done told them, heaven help Sheridan when I get home because they pulled this while I was on my way to D.C., I canceled chemo, man, to get to D.C., and I got up there, and there were so many Americans and so much.
I heard they only had 22 Muslims. No, I said I heard they only had 22 Muslims show up.
Yes, sir. That's right. There was just a few of them scattered around over there, and we were just like a force of nature. I told everybody it was like Sturgis on steroids with Jimi Hendrix playing the Star Spangled Banner in the background. You know, it was beautiful. I rode the whole ride standing on the back of an Electroglide in high heel shoes with hair the color of a Plymouth Fury. And I was holding up my two fingers. That wasn't for peace. That was for victory. Because, by God, we did it.
Yeah. No, I saw it. I got sent a bunch of videos about that. You guys did what you needed to do. But that's what everybody needs to do.
And it's bull. Well, I don't know if I said dirty words on your radio show, but it's bull that it's not being covered by the media. But it's a bullshit thing. I say ugly words on my radio, so I didn't know. It's total bullshit. How come this little rodeo clown can put on a skit and everybody in the nation knows about it? We still hearing about Miley Cyrus masturbating herself with a foam finger, but probably 3 million Americans showed up in Washington, D.C. yesterday and completely gridlocked the traffic for at least 4 hours, and we ain't hearing boo about it on TV. What's going on there? What happened to the integrity of journalists? What happened to the integrity of this nation? This nation was founded by Christians who were trying to escape the tyranny they were living under. Where did that go?
Yeah.
We're being lashed under a politically correct boot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm just sick of all of it, and I'm mad as hell, and I ain't going to take it no more.
There you go.
You know, until I can walk down the road in Pakistan and Afghanistan wearing a bikini, eating a pork chop, and reading my Bible and not get killed, then I'm going to keep on fighting because I think, you know, and everybody said, oh, we're going up here for a memorial. And that's true. It was a memorial. I had a fireman from North Carolina come stay in the rooms with us so he could get there. So because I was with a small group, and that way we were supporting the firemen, you know. We were there for the people of 9/11. And we were there to remember the fallen and the blood that was spilled on American soil. But I myself and a whole lot more than people was there to stand against what the Muslims are doing to our country.
Mm-hmm.
You know, do not pass go. I ain't gonna lie about it. That's exactly why I went. And while I was in my car trying to get there half dead, one of them gonna show up in my little bitty Arkansas town and try to convert my niece. And everybody thinks it's okay. What's going on?
Yeah. Yeah. Crazy.
I think, and you know, you hear, Duck Dynasty is the best TV show on. It's so wonderful. These are real, normal people, you know, real people. Well, if you think they're real, how come y'all ain't all preaching your Bible too? Right? You need to sit down and read that Quran before you start saying that Muslims is just like everybody else, because they're not. If you live in a Christian country, you can be an atheist, you can be a Wiccan, you can be, you know, a nudist, you can be anything you want to be. But if you live in a Muslim country, you're going to be a Muslim or you're going to die. There ain't no question.
That's the truth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I rant to y'all for hours on this. I've been ranting on this since, you know, the first time Obama got elected. And I'm going to keep ranting on it until somebody puts me in jail, I guess, but I ain't going to put up with it, and I hope that the rest of these people weren't just having a trip. I hope that they're still going to keep trying to make a difference when they get home. That's what I want to tell all of y'all. Keep fighting, you know?
Well, you know, tonight we had a little family gathering. We all had supper together, and my nieces were there, and one of them brought up the president's speech, and they looked right at me. They're like, did you watch it? I said, nope. And they're like, why not? I said, because. I said, how many people write the president's speeches? I said, 25, 30, to get it politically correct, buff it out nice, make it shiny for the world to hear what they want to hear. I said, I'm all set with that. I said, if I want to know what's going on, I'll go research my stuff. And I explained to them about, you know, the local news, that stuff, and everything else is just buffered. It's they put in stuff and say stuff to draw you to watch. It's like live acting is what it is.
It's turned into the Inquirer is what the news has turned into.
Yeah.
You know, they make up what they want to say.
Absolutely.
How come people why did they not go back with Obama and listen? You know, it's like everybody has Alzheimer's or something, because I remember him saying, if I don't fix this economy, I'm not going to run again. Well, he did. I remember his wife saying, oh, we wear clothes from Target, and then she steps out in Prada.
I mean, our economy,
why don't they remember the lies?
I live in Rhode Island, and our economy has seen a slow turnaround, but the places that are hiring are like McDonald's, Dunkin' Donuts, all minimum wage paying jobs that
exactly.
don't give you 40 hours, you know.
Exactly.
And this has been the first time in a while that, you know, a lot of places are paying, but they're not giving you what you need to survive.
No. And, you know, they get the economy messed up. People's losing their homes, and people have went from making $20 an hour to making $7 an hour. And now we've got mandatory insurance.
Yeah,
that's
more
buster. They're
going to
kill people.
Well, you know, it's just like if you think you're paying a lot now, just add 45% to it.
I was explaining that to a few people tonight. About the whole insurance stuff, and you know, it just left me dumbfounded that we had a variety of ages sitting at the table, and one person knew what I was talking about. Everybody else didn't. And I just look at all these scenarios all the time, and I'm like, this is the society we have mass produced that's out there. And
it is.
There ain't no turning it back. There really isn't, because it has gone so far down the gutter hole. That's the bottom line to it.
That's what I'm
afraid
of. You know, when my grandmother passed away last year, she was 95 years old. Broke my heart. But let me tell you something. When my grandmother had Sunday dinner and we were all there, families talked. The radio was off. The TV was off. And they would talk about politics, they would talk about religion, they would talk about many, many things. And as a child growing up in that environment, you listened to your elders. That's the way I was raised. When they were speaking, you shut up, or, you know, something bad was going to happen. And I feel that we need to get back to those roots, because all this stuff about textbook raising children and, you know, doing exactly what the schools tell you to do, which are state-funded, which are federally funded, and they've got all these federal and state guidelines, that's not raising children. That's not preparing them to go out into the world.
Do you still have that paper you read Tuesday?
It's not within sight, no, because I'm out on the back porch.
Okay.
But, you know, that paper was a prime example of what we're, you know, society is just being led down a stupid door, and they're believing the wrong things. And the more and more we are computerized, the more and more our brains are slowly diminishing. When I was a kid, I had 25 friends. I knew all their phone numbers. Somebody would ask me for a phone number, and I could, bam, put me on the phone and know it. Now, I think I know 2 phone numbers in my cell phone, and, you know, I'm guilty of it too. But this is what we're throwing out there. You know, like, Phil, when you lost your phone, it was god-awful, because you had everything, you know, you needed, et cetera, et cetera. And there's no longer
the data. It's hard to remember 2,200 phone numbers.
Right. No, but I understand that. But, you know, back in the day, my address book was filled. You know, and I had 2 of them, but it's like, you know, nobody does that. And I say all the time, I'm like, God forbid, I said, something bigger ever trots across this country and shuts down the Wi-Fi system, the computer system, everything that runs online, which is just about everything. We're going to come to a complete halt. Even regular TVs, people that can't afford cable, they've got these digital boxes so they can run their flat screens. I'm telling you, when the shit hits the fan, nobody's going to be prepared. Nobody's going to be able to communicate with no one, because, you know, the days of CBs and ham radios. You ask a kid nowadays what a ham radio is, they're gonna say something smart-ass. I guarantee it. You know,
yeah.
Nobody even knows the basic fundamentals anymore.
history classes taught in school are done by test scores of what should be taught. It's no longer about your constitutional rights, the amendments, who was in office in 1771, and, you know, stuff like that. It don't exist. And we're slowly squashing out what this country was founded on because we're not teaching it to our kids. We're putting them out there, and when we talk about amendments, laws, and rules being broken and it doesn't work that way, they look at us like, what the hell are you talking about? And that is very sad, you know, that we are – it goes from one extreme to the other. It's either the lower middle class who are turning out, you know, just incapacitated and – brainlocked, or you got the high class that can afford to do what they do, you know, and it's just wrong all the way around.
It's just like everybody got really lazy, you know, everybody turned into Honey Boo Boo or something, but I don't know.
Well, that's the thing now. Most of those reality shows and stuff, people are, you know.
It's not real.
Yeah, no, If I was on that honey, I would be embarrassed to be on that Honey Boo Boo stuff. I've never seen an episode, and I'm not going to.
I'm not going to watch that nasty stuff. I've been approached several times about doing a biker reality show, you know, because I'm outrageous. I'm really outrageous. And they'll talk to me for several days about they want me to do a reality show, blah, 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 blah. And then, but when I tell them, you're not going to script what I say, you're not going to tell me what to wear or what to say, then I don't hear from them anymore. They don't, you know, the whole nation can't handle, it's not that they can't handle the truth, they don't care about the truth.
No, and even when they were broadcasting, you know, when we first went to war after the towers fell and it was decided we were going in, even the stuff they were showing people in America was scripted, was edited, was buffered.
You know, when they pulled on Saddam's. When they pulled on Saddam's statue, that was all staged.
It's just, you know, we're not understanding, we're not seeing the severity of things happen, and we are an unprepared society. We really, really are. You know, my mother claims that when she was a kid and they would have bomb practices at the school and they'd go underneath their desks and things like that. She said that they were overprepared. They were always looking over their shoulder for the worst. But you know what? That society there knew how to survive. And our society don't, you know. And my nieces, my nephews, they all laugh at me because I say, you know, when the shit hits the fan, I'm taking off to the mountains and I'm kicking a family of bears right out of their fucking cave and I'm taking over. And they laugh at me and they're like, you know, what would you do that for? And I'm like, you know, if you understood anything about anything, you know, you would understand why I would do that.
You didn't ask the question. Yeah. Well, you know, that's another thing. Our children don't know how to survive anymore. Now, I'm a redneck, you know, but little girls will come up to me and go, oh, where did you get that skirt? And I tell them I made it, and it blows them away.
Yeah.
You know, children are not taught how to sew, how to cook, how to can vegetables, how to garden, how to fix their own vehicles, any of that anymore.
No, and it's sad, you know, because we're surrounded by these cities that just keep popping up, suburbs that become fast-paced. You know, people aren't gardening. They're hiring landscapers to make the front yards look pretty, and that's about it. They don't want to dig up their yard and plant vegetables. But I'll tell you what, when the shit hits the fan and there ain't a freezer running from west to east, somebody better learn how to do some gardening real quick, real quick.
That's right. And how to can.
Yeah.
You know, what happens if there's not any Jimmy Dean sausages at the store anymore? You know, the kids now, they can't tell you how to make a cornbread and a can of beans, right?
No, they don't even know the first thing about, like, I was raised with homemade pancakes made with flour and baking soda and salt and everything else. My mother would whip it up in 5 minutes.
Right.
Now, if you say pancake to a person, they're thinking IHOP or frozen in the freezer. It's like, no. You know, there's a way to do this. Or in a box already ready, you know. I don't
I don't understand it at all.
You know, when you get got that kind of disintegration of values and work ethic and taking care of yourself, you're depending on the government to take care of you, it leaves you prey for this big politically correct wheel to just roll on top of you and mash you to smithereens. And that's what's happening.
And not only that, the people that live on government assistance, et cetera, they are just about getting by. And, you know, that should be a wake-up call to you got to do something more. But some of them, they're okay with that. And I don't understand that. You know, this week I came to, well, actually over the past couple of weeks, I came to, and I had brought it up on a previous show, the realization of I've been saving money, I'm almost ready to buy a bike, but I'm also in school for cooking. And my dream is to have a food truck. So, bike or dream? Yeah, I'm chasing the dream. Get a food truck and maybe get the toys after that. But nobody's got drive, ambition to want to leave some type of legacy or hand something down or anything. They just don't do it anymore. They don't care.
Right. Or if they do, they want it to just to be handed to them. They don't want to earn it.
Nope.
It's okay to make a name for yourself, but, you know, it's fine to make a name. You know, Phil and Bill and me, all of us, we are those kind of people, or else we wouldn't have radio shows. That's okay. But we work to get that radio show. We don't just say, hey, everybody's got to know who I am just because I'm here, right?
Right, exactly.
You know, you could park a school bus in the shadow of my ego, but when it comes down to the important stuff, my ego gets put aside and my country and my God come first.
That's what people have forgotten. You know, they forget so much. And, you know, nobody talks about how many soldiers we've lost in the last decade. Nobody talks about how many of our boys are going back for the second and third time. Nobody talks about, you know, the fundamentals of what this is doing to our country. Nobody wants to hear it. Everybody's, it's not my problem, but it is everybody's problem.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, it's the same thing's happening here that went on in Germany.
Yeah. And other places, too. When you don't correct history, it will repeat itself until the lessons learned. That's the old lesson of karma. You know what? Good for the geese is good for the gander.
I'm going to send you something right now. Take a look at this.
Who, me?
Yeah. I'm not going to put it on your page. I'm just going to send it to you. Coming right now. But it
from
says,
my email?
No.
I got
your other one. This is a picture of Detroit. This is a picture of Detroit. There's six pictures of Detroit. On top it says, Syria really needs our help. And somebody said, well, what's the rest of it? That's Detroit.
Yeah. And, you know, like I lived a good 10-plus years in Michigan. I've said it several times on the show. And Detroit is an absolute mess. It is. It's an absolute mess. And they either got, like I said, bulldoze it down and get the people out of there, or they need to do something about it. And it's, you know, that's just one of many sad things in this country that need to be corrected. And I think people need to concentrate on this country versus everything else.
You know, that right there, everybody knows Detroit's in bad shape. Everybody knows Chicago was in bad shape, or you know what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But where I'm talking about the city, the little town that I live in, we're about 30 miles south of Little Rock. And when I moved to Sheridan, I was born and grew up in the deltas of Arkansas. And I got married to a man that lived in Sheridan and moved there. And the last time I heard, our ratio of minorities in our town was 0.5. I mean, it's a completely little bitty white town in Arkansas. Sheridan is actually famous in Arkansas for being kind of racist because it's just all white people, you know? And this Muslim in this school, that's where this is happening at. It's not just in Detroit. It's not just in D.C. This is in small town America. This is in, you know, Mayberry, Arkansas. This stuff is happening, too.
It's happening all over.
Yeah.
I mean, I had guys that were making good money. Now they're working for $8 an hour. And no bennies.
Yeah, that's...
You know, I was at Bill's the other day, and the guy, he came in with his bike, and he had a little trouble, and we started talking, and he brought up to Bill, he goes, Bill, you know, I have two employees. They make less than $1,000 a month. But I have to buy Obamacare and give them insurance. If I do that, I got to close the doors.
See?
Like Bill said, all you businessmen in bed with communist China should be ashamed of yourselves.
Yeah. And everything's made in China.
They threatening that they're not going to be able to pay the veterans and the disabled people. I'm disabled now. I paid any cars from the time I was a little kid until I was, you know, nearly 30, and I got lupus, and I'm dying. I can't do it no more. So, but I worked and earned my money that I paid in, you know. My husband worked his entire life for the United States Army. It's not fair for him to be sitting there, a 70-year-old man, worried about whether he's going to lose what he has earned his entire life working for saving his country, feeding his country. He cooked for those soldiers for 22 years, and he went back in and worked another 21 or something, and he don't even know if he's going to, you know, in a year's time, he may not even draw his check that he's earned because they're using it to pay for, you know, Obama to go to Martha's Vineyard or people that's 20 years old that just don't want to work or what the hell ever it's going for. Our country ain't got no more money, and now they want to go to war?
Yeah, I feel you on that because my mother became sick last year, and she worked her whole life as a nurse, and they buried her, and that's the bottom line to it, you know? And it's horrible that people, yeah, you know, I mean, this is the time where they need their investments and everything else, and they penalize you, they take this, they take that, and in the end, you're still left with nothing after you've worked your whole life.
Yeah, our country's writing checks that our asses can't cash.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I don't know what else could happen to us, y'all. We're turning into communist China.
Yeah, that's, you know, it's
and
sad.
It's so sad. How sad is it to know all those people were in our capital yesterday? I know people that sold their motorcycles to go. I know people cleaned out their life savings and borrowed money and hitched rides to go, and they ain't even on the news.
Now, that should have been covered all the way around because that was a major... major thing, and they just don't want anybody knowing that a bunch of people who people deem the bottom of the barrel because their bike is went to take a stand yesterday, and they don't want anybody knowing that because that might lead for other people to take a stand.
That's right. And, you know, we're hearing, oh, you trash your bikers, they're so nasty, they're just a bunch of, you know, slutty women and blah, 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 blah. I'm sick of hearing this shit. You know who I rode up here with? Christian motorcyclists and veterans. That
yep.
used to be the people you respected in your country, not the people you made fun of. When did being a Christian and a person that told the truth turn you into being a bad person?
When did riding a motorcycle and wearing Levi's and throwing a bandana on your head make you a bad person? But we're stereotyped.
Make you a criminal. Yeah.
Some of those guys that do that call themselves bikers, and they're not.
Right. Well, I've had that issue. Well, you know, and that's another, you know, I ain't going to get into it. I don't know who y'all friends with and stuff, but,
there's been some controversy go on with some of the ride thing. There was many, and there was not just the 2 million ride went up there yesterday. There was America's, they're misguided children. That's the ride that I rode with the 2000, and the 2000 gathered with the misguided children there in D.C. We entered their ride, you know, and there were several different rides that went into town. There's been some, looks to me like a little bit of horseshit about donations and things like that going on. But even though there was a whole lot of people got mad about the way one of the big rides was going, they didn't give up and stay home. Mm-mm. They just went ahead and joined another ride and went on their own. I know I helped a man get all the way from California to D.C. by himself, a 78-year-old man on a motorcycle, you know, and he would call me and I'd say, you need to get on 40, you need to do this, you need to do that. He ain't getting no credit for that.
No, I was getting people were sending me all kind of emails to send donations.
Do it again. I didn't hear you.
I said I was getting a bunch of emails. People were asking me to send donations.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I got a problem with that. And I don't know if you want to go into that or not, but that ain't right. That money ain't right. I'm sorry. where's it going?
Let me tell you this. This here is the last bastion of freedom we have.
Yeah.
When they come and they nail me every once in a while, but I try and keep it on the ropes. And if you bend over once, you're going to bend over twice.
Yes. And, you know, that stuff don't need to be brought in. You know, we ain't about gathering money to give to so-and-so because he had a bike wreck and gathering money for this one to buy flowers. That ain't what this is. This is about saving our country. If you want to have a group to gather money and get donations for the 9/11 victims, well, God bless you. You know, good for you. But don't get it confused and mixed up in, because all that's doing is muddying the water for us patriots.
Mm-hmm.
It's turning us into whatever thing else in the government is.
I get approached all the time from people that want to do a veterans event. And this is the first thing I ask them. How much of the money goes to the charity?
Yes.
Well, after we pay for this, then no. How much money is charity? Because by federal law, they only have to give up 10%. So where's the other 90 going? It should be the other way. Give the 90 and keep the 10.
Have you seen how much money has been raised by what I'm trying to say without saying? It was over $40,000 Knocktown T-shirts and stuff last time I checked it.
Mm-hmm.
Where's that 40 grand going, dude?
To who?
Yeah.
Who's it going to?
I want to know that, too.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of people mad at me for asking that question, but where's it going? What did you need money for all of us to drive across the country and come to D.C.? We wasn't fed for free. There wasn't even no porta potties. There wasn't, you know, where's all that money going?
Yeah, exactly. You know, we had a guy one time. He's out of Florida. He collected over $2.3 million and wrote one check that bounced for $1,500.
Gosh.
Yep.
Well, I got a feeling that's happening again, and I hate it. I hate it so bad, and all we can do is just put it out there, and if folks listen to us, good, but they're not listening to us.
Oh, they're listening.
I hope they are. I've been bashed and called a hater and a troublemaker. I'm just trying to tell the truth of what I see happening, you know?
Well, just to enlighten you, they park out in front of my house. When we do this,
you did what? Well, hey.
They park out in front of my house when we do the show.
Why?
Because they can.
They can, and we're sending subliminal messages, is what I was told.
Subliminal messages.
Yep.
Well, I ain't you something. You're going to teach me how to do that?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, I got called a C-word last week.
Really?
I'd rather him say I was doing subliminal messages than get called that.
Yeah.
You know? I might be one, but I wasn't one at that time. You know,
ain't no need
getting like that.
Well, hold on one second. Hey,
Fran. Yes, darling.
You got a comment on that Million Man March? A ride?
Well,
because here's the thing. Irene is enlightening us about they're up to the Fran, but nobody can find out where the money's going.
Well, that's why one should always support a ride where they know where the funds are coming, and if they can't give it to you in print, then you shouldn't do the ride.
Ain't
there
that
the
truth?
And, I mean, that's why, I mean, from day one, the Ride for Kids is coming up in San Diego, and none of the money that is made goes into us going around to the different shops. None of the money, because we don't do advertisement other than, you know, word of mouth, on your show, that type of thing. And any money that we do spend comes out of our own pocket to do that.
Mm-hmm.
All of the money goes to the Brain Tumor Foundation. Now, because of the research that's done here in San Diego, there is a healthy portion of that does stay in San Diego. But UF, they'll give you a full 100% breakdown of where every penny of that goes. And we have to account for that money.
Right.
When people come either to pay us that day or when those checks come in, that is all put into a tally, and that better actually, you know, check out when it comes to sending that check in. Because if it doesn't, they want to know why. And when they're doing the table, there's actually two people just to make sure that a dollar or two doesn't slip. None of our people would do that anyway, but just to make sure that everything is honest. I mean, the food, we're expecting at least 400 people this year. Do you know that the sandwiches is made from a local restaurant of ours, and the food is given to these riders free, from the restaurant?
Well, I know for a fact there's been enough money raised recently, last two or three days, to have fed every biker in D.C. I don't understand why there's been big donation things to raise. Somebody said they had spent $2,000, so we have to have a donation to give her money back. Who's going to give me back the $2,000 I spent to get here?
That's true. Yeah. I mean, that's
who's
going to
give that old
veteran?
Did you see that old veteran man that said, I'm sending you my check and doing without my utilities this month? How do you take that and sleep at night?
I sure as hell couldn't. I couldn't do that. I do know that I'm not getting out as much as I used to, and I think that's for my personal. It's because now I'm trying to find where I belong.
Yes.
And that part has been difficult. When you asked earlier about why we have such a bad rep, that really does go back to Hollister.
Yes, it does.
And the old B-movies. Where
yeah, look how
B-movies,
far we have come and gotten, you know, we've gotten away from that.
But the only thing is the stigma is still there.
Yeah. And then
you can't get away from the stigma.
Donation thing or whatever is going to set us back 40 years. It don't take but one of us acting stupid to make all the rest of us look bad.
Well, but I'm going to give you, when John died, I actually got a phone call
from a biker up in Sacramento that John and I knew. And she called me and she says to me, she says, do you know that there's someone up here that is trying to pass the hat around to send to you? And I said, excuse me? And sure enough, there was someone up there that was claiming to get money to send to me, which was all bogus. When I brought that up, did I lose you?
No, not me.
Okay, because I keep hearing this bouncing ball.
I hear it.
It was like really weird. Well, no, for some reason, the little white van or whatever that's outside his place has a tendency to bounce me as well. I don't know why. I'm just this little old lady that does a few things.
They bounce everybody.
I don't know why they don't like me. I'm a very nice
person.
They
did it last night when I was interviewing Andy McPhee from the Suns.
Shoot. But there was actually, and what was even worse is when I brought that up to Abate in the motorcycle group, oh, no one would ever do that. It's like, excuse me, stop burying your head in the sand. Because you know something? When somebody comes around saying, we're raffling off a bike, you know what? Let me write the check to whoever it is. That's great. I'm not going to give you cash. You give me an address, and I will send them a check personally.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what I keep hearing from people. They're going, oh, if this was bogus, the bikers are smart enough not to fall for it and all this.
Oh,
that's not true. Because I've been in many – have you not been at toy runs and been – at drives and things like that, and they pass around a coffee can for this guy that has wrecked his bike or something, and we know that money most of the time is going to that person, and we don't ever think anything. And like you said, usually there's two or three people handling that money. And so bikers in that respect are too trusting, because we real bikers are loyal and honest, and so we think the rest of them are too. That's a major problem.
That's the naive ones. And that's the ones that have not realized that, no, they're not. All you're saying,
okay,
Now
that you know that they do that stuff, let me tell you this.
Yeah.
Somebody just sent this to me. Something really weird is happening around D.C. today. This is from yesterday. Please take note and share. My childhood friend and Virginia radio personality has been scoping out D.C. area traffic cams. Despite the fact there are 1.5 million motorcyclists in D.C. today, none are visible on traffic cam, and some of the cams are showing video with snow on the ground. Someone was looping the old for some reason. Here's a screenshot. Okay, something is a bit fishy. I went to traffic land, and lo and behold, there's not a motorcycle in sight. Yet, current media estimates that all the sightings are at 1.5 million right now. I went to 495 cams, 395 cams, 166, 14th Street Bridge, practically empty. Yeah, right, Pennsylvania Avenue, Constitution Avenue, front of the White House, everywhere. Why is the government looping a comfy Sunday afternoon in some pictures with no traffic at all? And there's actual snow on the ground in other pictures.
I don't know.
Yeah,
I saw
that too.
Well, I think it stinks is what I think, because I can tell you for honest to God fact that I spent a good 2.5 hours yesterday trying to get down I-95. I spent longer than that trying to get out of D.C. We locked the town down.
Yeah.
I went down there on Constitution and I dyed my hair the brightest red I could find, and I stood on the side of the road and just waved at everybody, you know. And then I went over to the Capitol, and I yelled and yelled and yelled and held the sign up until I just throwed up. And then I laid on the grass, and a bunch of bikers come laid on the grass with me. We was all over the place. And where's the pictures? Y'all see our pictures. You know we ain't lying.
Well, of course you're lying, because you're a biker.
Yeah, we lying. You know, I'm not sitting in my Mustang at a motel right now in Virginia either, you know. That's another thing.
Again,
you know how many chase vehicles there was?
Oh, I'm sure there was a lot.
They're not counting cars, because I know for a fact there was half as many cars there as there was bikes. And there was people like me too sick to make that trip. And veterans, you know, all that. Mate, you ain't heard a word about that, have you?
No, no.
I haven't seen very much TV, so you're going to have to leave me out on that one.
I don't watch TV either, because it's all a crock of shit. I'm 90% deaf, and I have to read TV anyway. I just soon read for myself on the internet or in a book and find out what's going on. Because the news is just going to Big Brother.
Personally, if someone's going to donate money or something like that, like Sweetwater, they do several rides.
Mm-hmm.
One years ago, one of their bikers was killed, and every year they do a ride. But that money goes into a college fund for his daughter.
Right.
And,
right, I know what you're talking about.
If you want to support something, then support something that, and I hate to say our own, but you know something? I remember the year of the fires, or it was the year after the fires, and one of the guys that was a volunteer at the Ride for Kids, and the sandwiches, if there's sandwiches left over, they go to one of our supporting things, because nothing goes to waste. And this biker, who was a volunteer, says, well, I may be one of them because I'm about to lose my house. Is there any way that I could have a couple sandwiches to at least for the week? Now, you know what? Of course he got a couple sandwiches. But
well, yeah.
That is sad that we can't even protect and help our own. And I'm going to back up a little, because a lot of the bikers are also very damn proud. We're a very proud group of people.
Mm-hmm.
But it's kind of sad, because old time, you know what? If you're there for me, then I'm there for you.
Yeah.
If I can't house you, at least
oh
I can do
God.
Is cook extra food and give you food.
Sorry, guys. Sorry.
Yeah.
Patriots just scored another touchdown, and I got a little bit excited. Sorry.
That's all right.
You're allowed to get excited.
I'm from Razorback country. I understand. You know what I told folks that wanted to donate money that couldn't go? I told every last night, and a lot of them asked, and I said, go to a gas station, and when you see a biker and fill his tank up, or hand him a $20 bill or a $50 bill and tell him, pay for your motel tonight. That's what I told people to do with their donations. I didn't say, go buy a T-shirt from my website.
Well, you know what's funny is, I mean, it's in November, I ride around with this little pink thing on the back of my bike. And it's amazing to watch all these little kids that want to come up to the bike. And again, I'm a woman. I'm not like this gruffy, you know, beard and I'm gonna, you know. Okay,
right.
I'm just a woman, all right? How many mommies try to pull their kid away because they're afraid of the fact that it's a bike and that it has this big pink doll on it.
Right.
And they don't want to give in to. And you know something? I've ridden around with that big pink doll for, oh God, 10 years now. Well, except for 1 year. And that's because the pink doll and the husband all died in the same year. I finally got a new one. But it's amazing the fear, because when you were talking about fear, that fear in these people are so real, and they don't even know what it really is that they're afraid of.
Right. They're afraid of an image. And then what they really need to be afraid of, they trust blindly, like the government.
True. Or the bank that will take their house in a minute.
Yes. You know, I ain't sending some money to somebody that ain't even got their real name up. I'm sorry. You know, I pay attention to things. My husband sends money to, you know, the Cancer Foundation and veterans people and this and that, because that's what he does. And that's okay if he wants to do that. But those are organized groups, you know, big organizations. And I know a lot of the money probably doesn't actually go. It goes to funding the organization. But don't just go sending your money, all the money you've got, to some website woman because she sounds sweet. If you see on him, you know, I don't understand.
They got one on the news now, this big, hefty woman that she kept putting out there that her kid's dying of cancer and this and that, and that's all false. And she even got, she even had the kid telling people that that he was dying.
Right.
And I mean, what a terrible thing to do to your own son. I mean, that
you know, that's another thing, though. They're teaching our kids to lie. My son,
that's true.
When he was a senior, I wouldn't let him take his iPod and his phones to school. And he was like, oh, I have this teacher that lets us listen to him. And she told us just to, I told him, you know, I said, Ben, you ain't allowed by the school handbook to bring these things to school. And he said, well, the teacher told us it was okay, but if the principal walked by the door, we had to hide our earphones. So there's this teacher teaching my kid to lie.
Yep.
You know? Mm-hmm. We're teaching our children, you know, we're not, but somebody is teaching our kids to be liars and to be lazy. And that just ain't right.
Well, hand out is much easier than a hand up. And that's what's being, some of that's what's being taught, yes.
Y'all, my crew is riding with me, is waving at me out the window with my laptop in the hand. I don't know what they got going on, but I appreciate you letting me be on your show.
Oh, no worries. Come back
I'll call you back. Once I get used to your schedule, I'll call you and talk to you some more. Thank you for what you're trying to do.
Thank you.
All we can do is sit here and talk and hope somebody listens, right?
That's correct.
Thank you for supporting us. Thank you for supporting me. And I'll let you know when I get home, okay?
Perfect.
Ride safe, sweetheart.
I couldn't hear you.
Ride safe, sweetheart.
Oh, I will. You fellas be good and try to keep the rubber side down, okay?
I'll talk to you later on, baby. Have a great night.
You too.
Bye-bye. Fear out there is amazing. There was a woman broke down. I stopped a decent far back, got off my bike, started to walk towards the woman, and she actually started to shake. I asked her what the problem was. She says, well, my car isn't running, but my husband is on the way. I went back and I sat on my bike, and she still was kind of panicking because I was just there sitting on my bike. And it was, I believe in instinct. And for some reason, yeah, I would have liked to have been home, but I waited the 20 minutes for her husband to get there.
Mm-hmm.
When she looked at the guy, she gave me the nod, and then I left. But you know something? How many people out there today, and I'm talking about bikers and bikers, when you see a biker or you see a bike on the side of the road, do you just automatically ride past?
You know, I
look for a thumbs up or something.
No, I pull over, but
how do I?
Me too.
I've had some of the strangest looks, and usually from colors, because it's like a woman is stopping to actually help me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I find it humorous personally, but the again that thought process of someone else helping or stopping to see if they can do anything for you. If nothing else, give them that extra bottle of water that I've got on the car.
Yep,
exactly.
I ask them, you got a phone? Did you call anybody? No, I'll pick up the phone and call Bill. Somebody will run down there with the trailer and bring the bike to the shop.
These are things that a lot of people just don't think about or consider.
Mm-hmm.
No, because, you know, once again, you can go back to the lovely computer and the TV because they instill in our heads that if somebody's broken down or walking on the side of the road or anything, that's stranger danger. They will hurt you. So, you know, it's like damned if you do, damned if you don't. And I don't know. I've always helped the person. I've always, you know, if somebody's broken down, I do the thing with Phil. You got a phone, need to make a phone call, whatever. Doesn't matter what walk of life you are. That's the way I was raised.
Well, there's something that John's nephew, or not a nephew, uncle, taught us. And he had to go back to work at the age of 70 because he couldn't live on what was, you know, given to him.
Oh, my God.
So he had to go back to work. And he ended up working as a flag person on construction. And he said, you know, there were so many times he was stuck out there and had nothing to drink.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you know, the nicest thing ever is when someone would hand him a bottle of water. So from that day forth, John and I always kept water in the car. I always try to keep extra bottles of water on the bike, or Gatorade, depending. And it's amazing, even with the homeless, if they're begging for something, you hold up a bottle of water, 90% of the time they will take it. If one pops that puppy open and downs it, at that point I reach him back and I give him a second, or her a second.
Mm-hmm.
Because that means that they're so dehydrated. Now, is that, I don't know, whatever you want to call it. But you know something? That cost me all of, what, $1 to have two bottles of water given to somebody?
Mm-hmm.
When I see a bicyclist out there and it's really hot, there's times where, you know what, I'll pull over and give them a bottle of water only because, at least with me, I'm not pedaling yet. I can get to the next gas station and get water. But someone on a bicycle may or may not. And, I mean, this is just simple courtesy. This is courtesy from the old days.
Yeah, it doesn't exist anymore.
It's hard to come by.
Yeah, because courtesy is in the same route as respect. And, you know, if you're not raised with them values put in you, they're not taught to you nowadays.
No, they're not.
Hopefully tonight, you know, because I know that we've got a really good listening crowd, that they will consider, they'll think about it, they will even consider that right now we're going to be starting to get together, you know, the blanket run and that kind of thing. And anyone who goes to the Salvation Army or gives to any of those places, Goodwill, and you know what? A used blanket, and if they've got 75% off and you pick up a blanket for $3, well, pick up that blanket, wash it, put it in a plastic bag, and say, there's one more for the blanket run.
Mm-hmm.
That's not going to kill anybody out there. That's not going to kill you. And everybody was like, well, why would I want to do that for? Because that's one person that's at least going to be warm for the night.
Yep.
I mean, is that so terribly wrong? And, you know, my thinking must not be very right then. I'm confused and I'm a little bit lost.
Yeah.
But somehow, like you said, with some of the young people and so forth, there has to be a change. There has to be something, a realization, someplace to make a start. Whether it's, you know, it's just plain human decency. I mean, it hurts me to see a veteran out there that's actually panhandling. And some of them, they've been kicked so hard so many times that having human conversation or contact, they've gotten to a point now where they can't even do that anymore because they've been out there too long.
Yep, that's the truth.
Say hello to
Stand down for us is great. But still, my question is, are we really doing enough? We're willing to send them to war, but are we willing enough to stand behind them and give them back some dignity, give them back something to work for, to stand by? I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but I'll tell you what, it pains me.
Me too, because... You don't know, like, I got to fight for my stuff. Bill, who qualified for this stuff, won't use it. He said, I'll give it to somebody else. Then we finally got him to go. But he said, let somebody that needs to get it from the VA.
Well, I said it.
Well, let's see. We got somebody here. Eunice, are you there?
I'm here.
Hi, Eunice.
How are you? Hey. Well, I got good news. I don't have to have the surgery yet. All right. Yet. But I'm a little bit hoarse because I put this camera with three things on it down my throat.
Yeah.
And it's very sore. So I'm not going to stay on long, but I just wanted to let you guys know that I don't have to have it yet. So that's a good thing. So I just have to keep on checking on it. And can you imagine bringing a woman and making such a big mistake like that? I mean, I just don't understand it. Yeah.
Well.
So, but thank God I don't have to have it done.
Yeah.
They knocked me right out. Yeah. Yeah. I was really so happy. I'm packing my clothes to go to Florida. So, we'll just see.
Get a popsicle for your
throat. Oh, God, I'm telling you, Mike. Oh, it's terrible. It wasn't until just a little while ago, and I think it's because they made me suck this like a popsicle to numb the whole throat. I gagged on it. And then I didn't remember anything after that because they knocked me out, but. And it was fine up until about an hour ago. And then it really started hurting. So, but I just wanted to give you that good news. It's good news for me. And Nora, I'll talk to you tomorrow. And Phil, I called the other night and there was no show.
We went off early.
Early?
Oh, did you? Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. And I did call in Wednesday night. But, you know, I didn't know what it was about, so I just kind of hung up, you know, so.
Yeah, we had one of the actors from the show on.
Yeah.
My friend Andy.
Good.
And my other friend Brenda.
I says, I'll get into that eventually, you know.
Yeah. Have you heard from Harvest?
Not a word.
Wow.
Not a word.
Went underground, huh?
Huh?
You must have gone underground.
I really don't know. You know? Mm. I'll talk to you later about it.
Yeah, okay.
So, guys, have a good night.
Good night, Eunice.
All right.
Thank you
for
the good
news
for a change.
Yeah, I know it, isn't it? It's great. All right, I'll talk to you later, Nora.
Good night, guys.
Good night, Phil. Bill.
Good night.
Bill.
Bill's not here, but I'm here. Go ahead. So, I was just wondering.
Wondering if the Patriots are 13-3 at halftime. That's what you were wondering, right?
No, I'm going to tell Fran. Hey, Fran.
Yeah, hon.
Kathy's going to have operations, one on her eyes and one on a tumor under her left arm. So Bill's going to step away for a little bit, like last year when he was sick.
Yeah.
And
Is there anything? Well, if there's anything that needs to be done or what have you, call me directly.
Yeah.
And
it's off tomorrow and Saturday.
Okay. Because I mean, I am working, but that doesn't mean that I can't be there if needed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, no worries. So, I'll tell them.
Well,
that's
I do worry because it took me a while to find out some other things, and it's like when they're important people that are in your life.
Yeah, but don't you have his home phone number?
What, Bill's home?
Yeah.
Not my phone. No.
But you got it, right?
No.
Okay.
But if there's any, the best is there's ever anything that is crucial and needs to be ASAP taken care of, is best if you text me and call me and leave a message, say, Fran, this needs to be taken care of now.
Okay.
And I will do my darndest to ensure that it's done.
Okay.
And that's just, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't think nothing about hopping on that bike, rain or shine, and doing a scoot down the road.
Yeah. Well, I talked to him today, and I asked him how he was doing. He's dealing with the cards God gave me.
He'll always do that.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, that's just... sometimes it's easier to do and deal. And that's for a lot of people, and again, for a lot of bikers. Again, I'm bringing it back to bikers and also military guys, is sometimes our pride oversteps when we should actually be saying, you know what, if I could just have someone do this for me.
Mm-hmm.
If I could have someone just stop by and pick up my laundry and do the laundry for us.
Yeah.
Because you know something? As simple as that gesture is, that sometimes is a big time help, without a
mm-hmm.
doubt. And like I said, I've been there. It's funny because it goes out more than it comes in. But again, if people don't know or they don't understand what it is that you would need, they can't step up to the plate until it's known what is needed.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to make my standard plug out there, too, that everybody please pay attention to any of our veterans out there. We just got done with 9/11, but 9/11 never ends, and all the threats will always be there, but our military men and women, let there be a prayer, whatever people pray, whatever you believe
gonna,
in, whatever God
gonna,
you believe in,
he's going to cut their
give
pay.
Give them a prayer.
Someone's going to cut their pay.
I know.
Yep.
Shoot, I haven't had a raise in 10 years. It's a good thing I love my job. 10 years I haven't had a raise.
That's sad.
Yeah, it is.
I work for the college.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
They've cut personnel, and they've put people around. They've hired new people and given them higher pay, but those of us that have worked the hardest and most loyal have gotten shafted.
That's
I guess
terrible.
Maybe they just realize that we're so convenient. We're convenient, and yet we're throwaways because they'd rather have the young puppies that they can control.
Well, that's just like my brother's wife. She's worked at one of the local hospitals here since she was 16 years old. She's not even 45 years old, and she's put in 25 years. And they're talking about layoffs in January, and there's a possibility she could get laid off. And I was talking to her, and I'm like, why? And she said, why are they going to pay me? She said, the money I'm making, she said, because I've been here 25 years, when they can get somebody to fill my seat at $8. I'm like, that's just wrong.
Well, they laid my neighbor off because they instead of keeping in-house, it's cheaper to outsourcing. A hospital is doing outsourcing because it's cheaper.
Oh, that's terrible.
And he's been out of work. And if he goes back to work, he's looking at $8 an hour. And that's what people are looking at, because it's that, oh, we're downscaling. Yes, they're downscaling so that they can kick you in the butt.
Yep.
And they wonder why people are no longer interested in staying in any company for more than a certain amount of years.
I don't know. I'm closing in
at
20.
Companies.
I'm closing in with 20 on mine.
Wow.
I've got I think 16 on mine.
Yeah.
16, 17, something like that.
I think it's next May. My 20.
Wow. So does that mean we'll do the rim? It would be nice to do the rim, because there's actually two of them. The high school that's at the top of the rim, and then the rim. But right now, until they put out that fire, I don't think we can do the rim.
Yeah.
Which brings another question. And I don't have an answer. Something about guns and no longer using lead.
Oh, yeah. Some guy got a bill passed here in California that they're gonna take away lead bullets. It's polluting the air, polluting the land, all kinds of, you know, the same bullshit the liberals do.
Well, see, for me, who does not have a gun in the house?
Well, it's like Diane
you're talking
Feinstein.
To someone.
Well, it's like Diane Feinstein. She's got all. She has a 38 snub nose that's licensed to her. But yes, she has three security guards walking around everywhere. So what does she need a gun for? But she voted against us keeping our guns.
Well, that's like Susan Gold. I mean, people keep voting her in, and she's the one that keeps pushing nanny laws that the officers can't even enforce. So why are you creating more laws that officers can't do anything about?
Well, you know, I don't know, Fran. I posted a bunch of, here, listen to this. Santa Monica, police to conduct motorcycle safety checkpoint Saturday through the end of September. Tennessee, state troopers mount motorcycles for safety enforcement. Norwalk, another MC checkpoint in California.
Makes no sense.
Yeah. But you want to piss them off.
It's wasting manpower.
Yeah, it is.
And right now when they're cutting the manpower, so they're cutting manpower but forcing them to do something that makes no sense other than the fact that they think that they're going to get these really, really bad drug dealers and so forth. I'm going to have to send you a picture of my new item on my helmet.
Mm-hmm.
It's really cute, and everybody just giggles over it.
Yeah? You got batteries?
I haven't been pulled over for it. Huh?
You got batteries?
No. But it's not permanently attached either.
Mm-hmm.
Because I do believe that that's part of the law, that it has to be permanently attached.
Right.
Well, this is not permanently attached.
Okay.
But it gets a lot of looks, a lot of giggles, and I'll have to send you a picture. I have to send you a copy of the picture.
Yeah, send it to my email.
When I found out that they passed that silly law, I had to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I even had a student help me.
There you go.
Now, that's bad, isn't it?
No. Hey, they're a wealth of knowledge. The ones that are going to school, they're a wealth of knowledge. But did you hear about this? In Iowa, they gave they're issuing gun permits to blind people.
Oh, yeah, you were talking about that the other night.
At first time I saw that, I thought it was a joke.
No.
No, I was telling Phil when I lived in Michigan, we had a blind friend, and he hunted. They allow you in the state of Michigan, if you're blind, to be with a partner, and you're allowed to hunt with a crossbow. So, you know, it's factual.
She did.
Yeah? Okay.
Yeah. It's at what point do vision problems have a detrimental effect to fire a firearm? If you see nothing but a blurry mass in front of you, then I would say you probably shouldn't be shooting something. Although people who are blind can participate fully in nearly all of life's experiences, there are some things, like operation of a weapon, that may be very well but be an exception.
So what would the exception be? What would be the plea in court if you killed an intruder?
Okay. There's no reason solely on a basis of blindness that a blind person shouldn't be allowed to carry a weapon. Presumably, they're going to have enough sense not to use a weapon in a situation where they would endanger other people, just like we'd expect other people to have that common sense. Well, common sense, it's you can't buy it at the store. You're either born with it or not.
Man, you're a better person than me, man.
Why?
The only, like I say, for me, I know my temperament. I know what I can and can't do.
I know. I've seen you, man.
No, yeah, have you?
Yep.
I didn't hurt anybody.
No, not this time.
I couldn't have been too mad if I didn't hurt somebody.
Yeah, you were pretty pissed.
I was. Okay. I try really hard. I really do. To not get to any of those levels.
To behave. Sometimes it's hard. It's hard.
That is true. That is so true.
Nobody believes it, but it's hard to do that.
Well, you know, it's that Sicilian blood, hon.
Mm.
Once that Sicilian blood gets up there, you definitely have to kind of sit on your hands and hope that nobody comes across it that's going to say something that's going to invoke an unpleasant behavior. But I can't really behave, you know that.
Yeah. Nah, and then there's, are you going to go to Vegas or you don't know yet?
I don't know.
Okay.
There's every time that I try to do something. It just seems that right now, one thing or another just just seems to put a crimp in things, which is really annoying. That is so annoying. And it's like trying to figure out what there is that that you can, you know, that you can do. I mean, it's just, it's, oh, I do try. And then it's overwhelming because there's a whole lot of stuff that goes down. And then it comes down to the question of which one do you go to first? And where's your obligations? Part of also that's happening is some individuals, because of their attitudes, have kind of left a bad taste. And because it's left a bad taste in my mouth, the even to go to an event knowing that certain individuals are going to be there, and again, it's knowing your own temperament, and I would never want to lose my temper at a function. I really wouldn't. It would be embarrassing. It would not do anything good for any of the groups that I'm involved in. And besides that, I don't really want to go to jail for something so stupid and petty.
Yeah.
So going to certain events has been, it's easier to avoid than run the risk that I might do something foolish.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I do need to start getting back involved. If at any point you need photos done, or if somebody needs photos for an event, you know what? Give me a call. If they want to do photos at the event, you know.
I may be doing that because I got something in the works with Andy and a couple other people. You remember Randy from Quick Throttle?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. I remember her.
Yeah. Well, Quick Throttle's going to start advertising the show and the other things we do. And then they might be doing an article on us with the vets. And then some TV company, big company, came down to talk to Bill and I about doing a reality show. I was like, fuck that shit.
Well, don't be too hasty. Because if the reality show, is it going to be what we really do, or is it just going to be just another ho-hum, look what we can put on TV and whatever.
Yep.
So it depends on what it is. It could work positive, it could be negative. Although if you're a politician, even if it's bad, it's still good because your name is out there and people always remember the name. They don't always remember the crap you do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, look at San Diego. Bullet Bob is no longer bulletproof, and now there's 30-some people running for his job. Half of them were running before. What makes those that are running again now any better than when they were running the past two times in a row? So that should make some people think twice about the candidates that are there.
You remember that picture? Do you remember that picture you took of me and me, Red, and Filner, San Diego Harley?
Yeah.
I got 4 emails that said, "Hey, Phil, you think you might want to take that down?"
That at that point is your prerogative. But
oh,
the question there is, is at that time, was a good person. So at the time, but now is that, are you now trying to tell me that you're going to judge me now on that photo?
Or no, should you I'm have not judging you. I'm just.
Oh,
I'm
no,
just
no.
Saying,
what I'm saying is.
That was like
should,
3 years ago.
Someone.
Somebody
oh, yeah.
had to go look.
I know.
Somebody had to go looking for it.
Well, I did take a lot of photos off of my website because I had to clean up. And that was at, I forget what ride that was. Is that the Christmas ride or something?
No, it was a helmet. The helmet protest. One of the helmet protests.
Because I took a couple pictures down. Only because I didn't want any of the photos that were on my website to either be a negative or a positive would be great. But I was concerned with some people using that as a negative towards some of the bikers as saying, see, it just goes to show, you know, how low or you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So I did take a number of those off my website, and the ones that I had taken off were Bullet Bob with the biker dog, because I didn't want a bad spin on a dog that does so much for humanity and in among among people in the hospital and the hospice and all that, and does so many good things for people out there, to have that tarnished or used against. It, to me, it's more someone trying to grab it to use it to against somebody than anything else. I mean, hell,
yeah.
I still have the photos.
Yeah, I have mine too. Take them down either. For what?
If I think it's gonna harm, then do good. Then I will take photos down. I have had people call me and say, "I really need you to remove that photo." And you know something, I don't have a bit of problem when someone says, "I need that photo removed from my website." Now, that's also one of the reasons I don't put on Facebook photos unless they're photos that I know that are safe. And that's because if somebody puts a photo on Facebook and someone either downloads it or copies it, there is no way you can get that back. And then if that person were to use that photo against a group or against a person, I would feel so, so bad. I really would. That would be just devastating. I mean, there's some groups that are on my site that's password protected because only the group should be able to see those. And I've had events where I've had the event holder look at the pictures and either give me thumbs up on all of them or tell me what I need to take out before opening it to the public. Unfortunately, there is a large number of people out there that have absolutely no respect for
privacy or at an event where, you know, we might be at an event, but it doesn't necessarily mean that our pictures should be automatically just plastered all over the place because
exactly.
you felt like blasting our pictures.
Well, you know, I got to tell you, I was at the boot ride, and some pictures were taken with other people, and I was one of a few that got an email to check and see if this one person's picture was in there because people didn't want to get fired.
Well,
in their contract.
Yeah.
In their contract.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So.
And if it was someone who took the photo and posted that on Facebook, it's already done. There's no way. It's gone.
Yeah. We got a hold of them before they put him in the magazine, too.
Oh, that was lucky.
Yeah. Well, no. What did I do wrong? Two pictures you weren't supposed to take.
Well, I mean, I've had times where I have checked with individuals to ensure. If I see someone who sees the camera and starts to like, you know, duck and hide, then at that point I will actually approach that person to verify.
Mm-hmm.
And if they say to me, I can't have photos out, then at that point, I will go through the photos and ask yes, yes, no. And then if they say no, then I delete it right there from the camera, even though I don't like to delete from the camera.
Mm-hmm. Even
because
though you delete.
I don't need to know the reason why.
You know, but even though you delete it, it's still in the camera.
Yeah.
Yes, but at that point, my camera is not going to anybody.
No, I know, but it goes in the SIM card. It's still there.
Yes.
You can delete it in front of them, but you can still get it back.
That it's hard to do that, but yeah, you can. I agree. But at the same time, I'm not going to jeopardize or I'm not going to do something that is purposely harmful to another biker out there. Because
mm-hmm.
I don't think that is, as a photographer, that's the correct thing to do.
Right.
What I get concerned with sometimes is when people have photos, prints done, then my concern there is if those prints are where are they being done and who has access to them?
Mm-hmm.
And if they are kept out in the general public where anybody can go through them, then that means that anybody at that point can also take them. Because all they would need to do is, if they have prints there, is just swap out the prints. Oh, I'm just checking my pictures. Nobody
mm-hmm.
ever checks that part to make sure or verify that they are indeed the person that is looking at those pictures is the one who took the pictures. They're automatically assuming that people are honest enough that they're going to have that. And when people out there, if they think that if it's accessible, then that means anybody that goes into that store has access to those pictures. And if they're pictures that you don't want out there, then I would strongly suggest you learn to either print them at home or you go to a printer. It's going to cost you more, but you go to a camera shop or something that you know that they're only going to print it and you're the only one that's going to get them.
Right.
And at that point, that camera store is the only one that's going to end up being sued if those pictures were to get out.
Mm-hmm.
Because at that point, you can hold them responsible. You can hold the big, you can hold some of these big stores responsible. However, to go after just, you know, a drugstore, or to go after, you know, like even the drugstore keeps the photos behind them. People don't have access to them. It's when they're, when that people have access to those photos that a person should be concerned. And that's, and I'm not just saying that because of bikers. I'm just saying in general.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Anyone who takes pictures on their phone, iPad, whatever, that all has GPS information on it. If you don't know how to take that GPS information out, then, and you're going to put it out there, you better first learn how to take that data off of that picture so that they don't break into your house and steal everything you own because you're on vacation and you just posted, oh, having a lovely time.
And they didn't
see where you live.
Yeah.
I mean, that's where the pedophiles, ooh, look at that. Look at, isn't that a cute one?
What happened with Jamie?
When she went back at Christmas, I had asked her a real important question, and the question was, are you ready to stay if you have to?
Uh-huh.
And she says, I'm coming back.
Uh-huh.
And with her son and her daughter and everything else, it did end up where she's staying, not necessarily because, I mean, she wants to come back here.
Yeah.
But there's other obligations that one has to take care of first.
Right. Okay.
And that's the downfall of having children.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, one is graduating high school this year. The other one, I think, is only like 13, so there's a couple more years to go. They did come out, and they were here, all of them were here at my house for the 4th of July. And I think her kids are great. Unfortunately, that is one, again, a downfall for many individuals where, oh, I'm so free, I can do this and that. And yes, you are, unless you have obligations to other individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have obligations to other individuals, then that is going to override what you want to do. If you don't do that, then at that point, don't come back to my house, because then that just says that you're a selfish person, self-centered, and that's more important than business at hand that you have to take care of.
Yeah. Okay.
So maybe a year or two. I've convinced her to go back to school to actually get paper, because even if you know how to, it doesn't matter how good you are. You could be the best whatever. That's not going to make the difference.
No.
The difference is that piece of paper, even if you're not even good at the job, it still comes down to that piece of paper.
Yeah.
And so I believe she's going to go get that piece of paper so she can prove her worth.
Mm-hmm.
And then come back.
Okay. right, well, we're out of time.
Oh, wow, it goes quick, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
I say, for people out there, it's tough, hon. Okay.
Yeah.
Good night, everybody.
Good night. We'll see you Tuesday.
Sorry I spent so much time on your line.
No worries. That's what it's here for.
That's it.
All right. You have a good night.
Night-night.